He told me everything I have ever done. She found that attractive. I'll tell you, if somebody came up to me and told me everything I have ever done, I would put as much distance between me and them as physically possible, you know. This amazing gospel is at every level. Did you notice that whether it's the woman or the disciples, Jesus is on one level and they're on another. They just don't get it. Jesus is on the level of spirit and truth. They're on the level of literal reality. Rabbi eat, you know. And he says, I have food of which you do not know. I often use that line, you know, if somebody says, ask me to dinner, I say, well, but I have food of which you do not know, or something like that. You know, nobody ever gets the joke, but I love that line, but I'm not preaching on it. The woman doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about, and we don't either. We need the Spirit to understand this gospel. I love this gospel very deeply because we have an encounter with Jesus at the well. If you've ever been to the Holy Land from May through about October, it's really hot in that part of the Holy Land. It's noon. People don't move then. Jesus is hot. He's very human. He's sitting by the well. Here comes this woman. Notice she encounters him in her work. Whether she prays or not, we do not know. But here Jesus is going to speak to her in the midst of her life. She's doing what any woman would have done then. She went to get water. And this is where she finds Jesus, right in the midst of her daily life, just like us. And she's going to have an encounter with Christ. Now, Christ wants to sit down with each of us and have a heart-to-heart talk. That's called prayer. And hopefully, we will be open enough that he can speak the truth to us. Lent is a time when we want to ask God, will you show me my life? Can you all take a half hour or a period of time to really inventory your life and ask Jesus to open your heart so that he might speak? And he will, sometimes in prayer directly, often through others. They'll speak to us and they'll tell us the things we're doing well to encourage us. God will do this. And other times, something we need correcting, and we will often get defensive and then come back and realize they were right. This is God. This is what's happening with this woman. Jesus speaks to her. He has this wonderful line in there. He says, go and get your husband. It's funny. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, well, you're right about that, at least. You've had five, and this one, the one you're living with, isn't your husband. And you can imagine her face. I can see you are a prophet. Well, that's putting it mildly. And immediately she goes into politics. You see, Samaritans are Republicans and Jews are Democrats. They're political parties. And he says, basically she says, are you a Republican or a Democrat? And he says, honey, a time is coming. I'm forming my own party. Are you willing to join? That's basically what that conversation is about. Jesus sidesteps the politics immediately. This is not what he's interested in. You know, in 40 years, the whole country is going to be gone. This is her moment. This is the moment of truth for her. And it is for us as well. We have to recognize when God calls us to the well, he's thirsty for souls. He's thirsty for your faith. He's thirsty to have a heart-to-heart talk with you this Lent and with me. And I sat down this week. I never fail to go on a retreat or a Lent without sitting down and asking God, Lord, if you will only show me things the way they really are. It's so hard for us to see how we really live and the effect we have on others. You know, those of you who are married and have families, you have all those wonderful relatives nearby to keep pointing out your faults to you. I go home, I live alone, so I think I'm perfect, you know. I have 1,200 families to correct me here, though, however. But Jesus wants to make use of this. And if we don't want it, he won't speak to us. But that's our loss, because this is what life is about. And he wants to have this heart-to-heart talk. There are saints in the church that have had this gift of truth-telling. One of the people that is good at this, if some of you may remember Father Charlie Grive, he's a very old friend of mine. He has that gift, as a modern-day priest. One, a saint that had this was the Curie of Ars. He was so, the bishops considered him so dumb when he was ordained that they wouldn't even let him hear confessions. And by the end of his life, you had to wait 10 days to go to confession. He heard, for 22 hours, he would hear confessions. He slept for 2 hours a night. They would get it, they would take numbers, get in line, and then get back in line the next morning. All because he told them the truth. If you left a sin out deliberately, he'd tell you what it was and tell you to get back in line and do a better job. And people lined up from all over France. There's a modern saint that had this gift. Who can tell me who he is? Padre Pio. Padre Pio had a fiery Italian temper. One of my previous spiritual directors actually had heard Mass from him. And he said, if somebody went in that confessional and tried to pull a fast one, like somebody from the media testing him, he'd call him on it and yell in Italian, so the whole church could hear, get out, you know. I know you. You're trying to pull something on me. He knew. He had the prophetic gift of knowledge. He would tell you what you needed to hear, not what you wanted to hear. Thank God I don't have that gift. I don't want to hear confessions 22 hours a day. But I would like to see a few more of you there. So what we need then, I think, is an examination of conscience. This is something ideally that we do every day at some point during the day, particularly if something's gone well or badly. You can sit down and say, well, how am I doing, Lord? How did I handle this? Were you pleased with my actions today? What can we improve together? This is how you grow in the spiritual life, and out of that conversation sometimes will come the gift of reconciliation sacramentally. This is how we get to know ourselves. If I don't make a regular habit of reconciliation, if I'm not having this woman at the well conversation with Jesus, I'm going to be ignorant of how things really are in my life. And how is Jesus going to speak to you? Occasionally directly in my heart, most often through the scriptures at Mass. If I'm praying, it's going to hit home. If I'm not, it's going to go right over my head. He's going to speak through my relatives and friends, the people I work with, the people that bug me, the people that love me. This is how he has this conversation in the midst of your work, while you're drawing water, you know. I like to think of the spiritual life. One of the images that I find very helpful, I'll just throw it out to you in case you find it useful, is I like to think that each of us is like a pen in God's hands. Now, this does not mean that we have automatic writing, that God does not give us free will. The pen has a choice whether it will allow itself to be picked up by God and used. But he has a story to write with you. You have a mission. He's writing a book, a gospel, with your name on it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and your gospel. It will be the story of your life. And he wants to use the pen to write this beautiful story, or if you will, a paintbrush that with a beautiful painting, with dark and light and suffering and glory. But the problem is that with our free will and our sin and our self-will, the pen wants to go in its own direction. Can you imagine God fighting with a pen that has its own will? What kind of a drawing is that going to be? You know, or ever had a pen that sticks and blots? And what do you do with a pen like that? What does God do? He doesn't throw you out. He's attracted to you, just like the woman at the well. When we least deserve it, we find God approaching us. When we sin the most, we find God is often closest, like this woman. Isn't that comforting? When we're doing everything right, God may feel very absent because he's helping us grow spiritually by not giving us so many consolations. He wants to clean out the pen, change the ball bearing, put better ink in it. But we have to let him. This is why we must have a conversation with God on a regular basis. Because there will come a time, each of us has only so much ink in the barrel, and when that ink is finished, God will put the pen down and then hand us the document that we have written together with him. And This is why it's so important that we try to be an open pen in God's hands so he can write in spirit and truth to let him act through me and through you. This is how God's will is done in the world. This is what he's calling us to do, to be worshipers in spirit and truth, to know the truth. If we have the courage to listen, it's so hard to see the truth. God doesn't give it to us all at once. We couldn't take it. But so we pray that Jesus will speak to us at the well. We come thirsting. We are looking. We fill ourselves with the wrong things. Water that doesn't satisfy. He wants us to be a pen in his hands that he might be able to use. And so we pray that he will work with us and walk with us, and that we can listen to him in spirit and in truth.